Have our scripture reading from Genesis chapter 26. Genesis chapter 26. We're looking at Isaac today. Genesis 26. And there was a famine in the land, beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, Go not down into Egypt. Dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and will bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. And Isaac dwelt in Gerar, and the men of the place asked him of his wife. And he said, She is my sister. For he feared to say, She is my wife. Lest, said he, the men of the place should kill me for Rebekah, because she was fair to look upon. And it came to pass, when he had been there a long time, that Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked out of the window and saw, and behold, Isaac was sporting with Rebekah, his wife. And Abimelech called Isaac and said, Behold, of a surety she is thy wife. And how saidst thou, She is my sister? And Isaac said unto him, Because I said, Lest I die for her. And Abimelech said, What is this that thou hast done unto us? One of the people might lightly have lain with thy wife, and thou shouldst have brought guiltiness upon us. And Abimelech charged all his people, saying, He that touches this man or his wife shall surely be put to death. Then Isaac sowed in the land, and received in the same year 100-fold. And the Lord blessed him. And the man waxed great, and went forward, and grew, until he became very great. For he had possession of flocks, and possession of herds, and great store of servants, and the Philistines envied him. For all the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham his father, the Philistines had stopped them, and filled them with earth. And Abimelech said unto Isaac, Go from us, for thou art much mightier than we. And Isaac departed thence, and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar, and dwelt there. And Isaac digged again the wells of water, which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father. For the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. And he called their names after the names by which his father had called them. And Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. And the herdmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac's herdsmen, saying, The water's ours. And he called the name of the well Esek, because they strove with him. And they digged another well and strove for that also, and he called the name of it Sitnah. And he removed from thence and digged another well, and for that they strove not. And he called the name of it Rehoboth. And he said, For now the Lord hath made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. And he went up from thence to Beersheba. And the Lord appeared unto him the same night and said, I am the God of Abraham thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee, and will bless thee, and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. And he builded an altar there, and called upon the name of the Lord, and pitched his tent there. And there Isaac's servants digged a well. Then Abimelech went to him from Gerar, and Ahuza, one of his friends, and Phicol, the chief captain of his army. And Isaac said unto them, Wherefore come ye to me, seeing ye hate me, and have sent me away from you? And they said, We saw certainly that the Lord was with thee, and we said, Let there be now an oath betwixt us, even betwixt us and thee, and let us make a covenant with thee, that thou wilt do us no harm or no hurt, as we have not touched thee, and as we have done unto thee nothing but good, and have sent thee away in peace. Thou art now the blessed of the Lord. And he made them a feast. They did eat and drink. And they rose up betimes in the morning and sware one to another. And Isaac sent them away, and they departed from him in peace. And it came to pass the same day that Isaac's servants came and told him concerning the well which they had digged, and said unto him, We have found water. And he called it Sheba. Therefore the name of the city is Beersheba unto this day. And Esau was 40 years old when he took to wife Judith, the daughter of Beeri the Hittite, and Bashemath, the daughter of Elon the Hittite, which were a grief of mind unto Isaac and to Rebekah. So we'll take a look at that scripture in just a few moments. 26. Let's have a word of prayer together. Our Father, as we open your word once again today, and as we think upon these scriptures and what they mean to us, may we hear the word of God, and may we receive it into our hearts, and may we put it into practice in our lives to apply these Old Testament truths to our hearts today as we see Isaac, the example that he is to us, and pray that we would benefit from seeing how he lived his life and how we should live ours for your glory, for your name's sake. We thank you for all that we have through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and ask your blessings upon each one of us today. May we truly benefit from being here. And may we love you and serve you as we go from this place today, that your will would be accomplished in our lives. Thank you for all your blessings to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, today, as we know, is Father's Day in the United States. I don't know about the other parts of the world. Maybe it is there as well. But anyway, it's a time for us to remember and to honor the one who gave us life, helped give us life. And hopefully, many happy memories. Just think back through the life that you had with your father. Perhaps you still have him today. If you do, then it's a wonderful blessing. If not, we can always remember. Think back to these men who loved us and cared for us. Faithful fathers are important in their families, to give strength and stability to the home. Unfortunately, we know some men have abandoned their responsibility, left their wives to be both mother and father. On the other hand, we find some fathers have been left to raise their children alone. Either of these situations are very difficult. God's plan is so much better. A father and a mother raising their children according to the teachings of the Word of God. May we who are fathers today commit ourselves to be the best examples that we can be to those who look to us for guidance and for leadership. And may we all bring honor and glory to our Heavenly Father, the one who looks over us and looks after us. Today we want to consider Isaac, the son of a famous father, Abraham, and the father of a famous son, Jacob. You might say he's a middleman. His life was not as exciting as the others, but he had a very important role to play in God's plan. We see Isaac, the son of Abraham. Just to review a little bit, you remember God called Abraham to leave his homeland and begin a new life. He promised to bless him abundantly as the father of a great nation, and he a father of many nations, actually. Abraham believed God, it says, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. He accepted what God told him, and he believed it, and he walked with him. He and his wife Sarah prayed diligently and waited to have the promised son, but nothing happened. Finally, when it was humanly impossible, God gave them a son, Isaac. They named him Laughter. Because you remember, Abraham was 100 years old, and Sarah was 90 years old, and God says, you're going to have a son. What did they do? They burst out laughing, right? What would you do? And so they named him Laughter. So every time they would call him, they could think of it. You know, their lack of faith and how God overcame and gave them exactly what they wanted. You know, sometimes we get frustrated and impatient, I think, when we want something and it doesn't seem to come for a long time. But God does eventually answer our prayers for the best. And here we find he did that for them. And you can imagine the love and care that he received. No one was allowed to mistreat him. He didn't lack for anything. You remember this was the thing. Sarah, his mother especially, had Abraham send Ishmael, the older son, away with his mother, because he was making fun of Isaac. And so they were very protective of him. And yet, when God told Abraham to sacrifice Isaac as a burnt offering, he did not hesitate or question the Lord. This was the greatest test he ever faced. But he trusted the Lord through it all. And you notice, let's read this over in Hebrews chapter 11. We find why Abraham was willing to do this. Hebrews 11 verse 17 says, by faith Abraham, when he was tried or tested, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. So Abraham's faith in God was so strong that he believed God was going to answer his prayer, no matter what. And here we can see in this sacrifice that Abraham made, God allowed him to go through with it. Isaac was bound to the altar. And think of that. What kind of trust and faith did Isaac have in his father to allow him to bind him on the sacrificial altar? Without resistance. He trusted his father. And it all worked out. It's a picture to us, I believe, of the Lord Jesus. He obeyed the Father and was offered as a sacrifice on the cross. Only God did not stay his hand. He allowed him to be crucified, to die for our sins, that we might have salvation, that we might have everlasting life. And yet 3 days later, he came back to life again, didn't he? And he lives forevermore. What a beautiful picture that is. Well, coming back to Isaac, as a young man, he experienced grief when his mother, Sarah, died. He was actually, I think it was 37 years old when she passed away. And, you know, it's difficult, no matter what your age is, to lose your parents. And here we find Isaac losing his mother, the one who had been so dear to him. And it's always difficult to say goodbye. And yet we know it's something we all have to face. But as believers in Christ, he says we sorrow not as those who have no hope, because Jesus is going to bring them back again, and we'll all be together someday in heaven. That's the wonderful hope that we have in our hearts. So this is Isaac, the son of Abraham and Sarah. And then we see Isaac, a husband and father. When Isaac was 40 years old, Abraham sent his servant back to his home country to get a wife for him that would be good, a good woman for him, where he wouldn't marry someone who was an unbeliever, someone who would worship other gods like the people of the land. He sent the servant back to get him a believing wife. And in a wonderful way, God led the servant to Rebekah. We studied this not long ago about being at the well. His servant prayed and said, "Lord, would you please send somebody along that will give me a drink and water the camels?" And before he finished speaking, Rebekah came and did that very thing. She was willing to take her place with him. He told her about the proposal, said Isaac needed a wife, and she gladly went with him. So we see that he was comforted, he said, after the death of his mother. He had a wife to be with him that would be faithful to him. So like Sarah, Rebekah then couldn't have children. She was barren until God answered their prayers and he gave them twin sons, Esau and Jacob. From the beginning, God chose Jacob to be the one to fulfill the covenant he made with Abraham. He told Rebekah when she prayed to him, somehow God got the message to her, "The elder shall serve the younger," right? So the younger one would be Jacob. He was born after Esau, and yet he was the one through whom God would bless the world. We know that through him, the Lord Jesus Christ eventually came into the world. But unfortunately, we find in their home life that it was a divided household. It says in Genesis 25:28, "And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob." So we see here favoritism, and you can imagine how that affected the sons, how it affected the whole family. This could only lead to disunity and heartache. We'll see that a little later when we move on to another chapter. But here for today, we find Isaac the pilgrim, we might say. Just like his father, Isaac lived a pilgrim life, moving from place to place as he needed to. And here, as we begin chapter 26, we find that there was a famine. Apparently, a very trying time, because It compares it to the first famine that came in the life of Abraham. So this was a time when there was nothing to eat. They had to do something about it. A time of testing. God is going to see whether they will trust Him through this time or not. And here, apparently, Isaac was following in his father's footsteps on his way to go down to Egypt. And the Lord warned him not to do that. He says, do not go down to Egypt. Dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. So Isaac obeyed. And instead of going to Egypt, he went to the land of the Philistines, where God directed him, and told him, all this land is going to belong to you and your descendants. This was all part of the promised land that God was going to give to them in the days to come. Excuse me. So he's able to go and be there, and God speaks to him. It's interesting here. Let's look at verse 3. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and will bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto thy father, unto Abraham thy father. So God says, I'm going to fulfill my word, my promise. You will have all this land, and I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven. Remember, at this time, he didn't have any children either. Or did he? Maybe he did. He did have the twins. Sorry about that. Esau and Jacob, they had just been born before this. And yet, he says, your seed is going to be multiplied like the stars of heaven. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Here's that same promise that he makes of blessing to the whole world through the Jewish people and especially through the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. And then we find here the lapse of Isaac. When he got to Gerar, the men of the place, it says, ask him about his wife. And he said, what? She's my sister. You know, it's amazing how that works out. Abraham had done the very same thing with his wife, Sarah. He said she was a beautiful woman, and he was afraid someone would kill him and take her for themselves. And here Isaac does the very same thing. Isn't it amazing? You know, the lessons that the father passes down to the son are not always the best. You might try to teach them a good lesson, but sometimes if you're not careful, they learn the bad lessons. And here we see that we have to be careful the way we conduct ourselves in every area of life, for the good or for bad. And here we find Isaac lying about his wife. Abraham had told a half-lie because Sarah was his half-sister, but here we find Isaac telling a full lie, right? So it's getting worse all the time. And it goes on for a while here. They're living there and everything's fine until one day the king looks out the window and he sees Isaac and Rebekah out there caressing or, you know, doing things that husbands and wives do. And he says, you lied to me, didn't you? He caught him. He rebuked him. And here we find a heathen king rebuking a godly man, the man who is supposed to be following God. And that has to be terribly embarrassing, doesn't it? And yet, we find that he got over it and went on to work there in the land, become a gentleman farmer, so to speak, and raised crops. And it says that God blessed him in a very special way, and his crop increased 100-fold. So he was doing very, very well. And the Philistines then send him away because they are afraid that he'll become more prosperous than they are. And so he goes away, and here we find he begins to dig these wells. It talks a lot about wells, all these different wells that he made. And this was something very important, of course, in a country like that where it's so dry. You know, you have to have water. If you don't have water, you won't survive. And so this is one of the things that they set about to do. His servants were digging the wells. First of all, they redigged the wells that Abraham had dug many years before. The Philistines had filled them up with dirt and destroyed the wells. And now Isaac comes along and redigs them and gives them the same names that Abraham had given to them. So he's redoing the work of his father, so to speak, and seeking to improve things. And then it talks here about the other wells that he dug. This one, Esek, the first one he dug here, it mentions, means contention. Because the Philistines said, this is our water, you can't have it, you know. And then they were arguing about that. So he went on someplace else and dug another one called Sitna, which means hatred. So they come along and they are having a big argument about this. He goes and he builds another one, digs another one that's called Rehoboth, which means enlargement or fruitfulness. And here he was able to enjoy the water and without all of the contention and hatred and fussing and fighting that was going on. So it says the Lord made room for us. We shall be fruitful in the land. And then he settles down at this place called Beersheba. This is a place where it's spoken of many times in the Bible. If you look through your concordance, you'll see it's a place that they often came to. And here it says in verse 24, and the Lord appeared unto him the same night. Now he's at Beersheba. This is the well of the oath where they made the covenant. And he says, I am the God of Abraham, thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee, and will bless thee, and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. So once again, we see the Lord appearing and speaking to him. In verse 2, it said the Lord appeared to him. And here again, verse 24, he's receiving a message from the Lord, a good message, that he's going to bless him and multiply him and make his life prosperous. And here again, verse 25, notice, he builded an altar there and called upon the name of the Lord. And this was something that he learned from his father as well. Abraham, everywhere he went and pitched his tent, he would build an altar and worship the Lord. And here Isaac is doing the same thing. He built an altar and called on the name of the Lord. He pitched his tent there, and they dug a well. Isaac's servants dig the well, and they discovered water. So he was able to settle down there at this. It's like an oasis in the desert, so to speak, and enjoying his time there. Then we see that the Philistines come back in verse 26, Abimelech, the king, and some of his other people went to Isaac and said, "We want to make a covenant with you. We want to make a peace treaty, so to speak. You won't hurt us, and we won't bother you." So, detente, I guess. Is that what this is? Anyhow, we have the neighbors coming to make peace. And notice what it says in verse 28. They said, "We saw certainly that the Lord was with thee." This is his testimony, you see. They noticed that God blessed him in a very special way, that the Lord was there, that there was something more that they didn't have. So this was a good testimony to them as they would watch his life and see how God was working in his life. So they said, "Let now there be an oath between us, and let us make a covenant with you, so that we will be able to live together in harmony without causing each other trouble." So here we find Isaac is able to make peace with his neighbors. They have a big feast, enjoy themselves, and then he goes on to live there in Beersheba. And so he closes this out. He has a little note here at the end about Esau and how he married some of the people, the ladies of the land, several, two of them at least here. And it says, "This was a grief of mind unto Isaac and to Rebekah." So they still had their problems, right? And, you know, I think every family has their problems. It's just that we have to face them, allow God to help us through them, and to solve these problems. So as we look at this lesson this morning, what can we learn from Isaac? I think we learn, first of all, that God answers prayer. Right at the very beginning, we see that God answered their prayer. It took time. They had to persevere, and I think it was quite a number of years before they had children, but God did answer their prayers and poured out his blessings upon them. Everyone has to face trials and temptations. We've seen here the same famine that Abraham faced. Isaac had to face the same kind of circumstance, and each one of us will have trials and heartaches that come in life, temptations, and we have to see how we're going to face it. Are we going to allow God to lead us through, or are we going to give up, go into a crisis, become depressed and upset, and fall apart? The Lord is able to see us through whatever we're facing if we'll only allow him to do that. And what a wonderful lesson that is. The other lesson is there are no perfect fathers. Do you notice? Isaac was a good man as we think of it. One who loved the Lord. One who was seeking to follow him. And yet, he stumbled along the way in various ways, showing favoritism to one of his sons over the other, lying about his wife, and these kind of things. And but it's important to notice that he was faithful to the Lord, generally speaking. And that's, I think, what we have to look at and try to pattern ourselves after this example. Not lying, I don't mean that, or showing favoritism, but the other part of trusting God through it all, and being a faithful provider. He provided for his family, and God blessed him for it. So may the Lord help us to be that kind of person that would trust him and love him and serve him and follow in the way that he would have us to go. Thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for your word to our hearts this morning. We hope that each one of us will take this to heart and that we will profit from it. We thank you for your word and pray that you'll bless us and help us throughout this day, this Father's Day. May it be a time of joy and blessing, and may we enjoy all the good things that you have for us. We just praise you and thank you for all your love to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.